This is CliffCentral.com.
It is time for the burning platform on CliffCentral.com. It's brought to you every week by Nando's. Today is either going to be lemon and herb, mild, hot, very hot, or Mozambican spice.
I think very hot is more like it, Gareth. You know why I think it's going to be very hot? It's because we're recording this show, and one of the things for me is, how long can Supra Mahuma Pelo last? And from what I'm seeing, I think that that's one man who may be on his way out. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds, what happens there. But I think spicy, huh? Very spicy.
Well, Supra is a good place to start because not so many months ago, these guys were untouchable. They were like the Godfather in that movie.
Absolutely. You know,
there was Supra, Ace, and David Mabuza.
Yeah.
Didi. We don't call him that. These three were untouchable, the Premier League. They were the guys who kept Jacob Zuma in position. They were buying him cattle by the sound of things. There's a lot going on that we're just discovering now.
I know.
So with this cattle thing, because I don't know a lot about the story, and I don't know if you've been reading
about it. Yeah, I've been following it.
Why did we only find out about it now? And whose cattle are these? Who were they meant to go to? And how did Ubaba get them?
So, you know, this debate about... So we've got a big debate going on in South Africa now about land. And it's a fantastic debate because it speaks to 24 years since 1994 about whether we've empowered black farmers, new black farmers, new black people who want to do something on the land. So there's a very nice program run by a company called Agri Delight. Agri Delight then says, "Oh, there's Gareth Cliff. He's a small farmer in Rustenburg somewhere. He's got a plot this big, and he can graze so many cattle. And government is supposed to help young farmer Gareth to."
Will they buy me cattle?
They'd buy you cattle. There'd be some sort of financial arrangement, but generally they'd buy you cattle, basically. Okay. And you would have had to demonstrate that you know how to look after them. You can make sure that, remember, it was one bull and 24 cows.
So we can also sustain the population growth.
Exactly.
This is terrific. This is proper agrarian economics.
Exactly. But instead of these 25 Bonsmara cattle in the Northwest going to Farmer Gareth or Farmer Justice or Farmer Katlego somewhere, they go to, well, someone gets a call saying, put 25 cattle on a truck. I want you to transport them through to KwaZulu-Natal. Here's the address. The guy, Mr. Msiza, looks at the address and says, that's interesting. It's in Nkandla. Anyway, he loads them up. And he sends them off to Nkandla. He gets there. Who's waiting to sign off on the piece of paper? It's Ubaba himself.
Wow! This is while he was sitting as president.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine you're a driver. You've just arrived with 25 head of cattle, and you're thinking, the president of the republic is here. And he says, oh, reverse in. He helps you reverse in. You're reversing in. Boom. You unload the cattle. And he says, where's the slip? Can I sign?
Wow.
He signs himself. And guys say, please, can I take the picture with the president? Of course.
Well, this is a priority for him.
It's a big priority for him.
If he made himself available, he didn't just have it delivered and someone else signed.
No.
Makumalo comes out.
This is him. Wow. He does it himself.
So was this a gift from Supra to the president?
Supra says, no, it wasn't a gift from me, and I will investigate and find out why the HOD, for the head of Department for Agriculture in the Northwest, sent these cattle to Jacob Zuma. He is outraged that this has been done. How would Jacob Zuma get 25 head of cattle if it wasn't because someone high up said, give Farmer Jacob some cattle?
But the real story then isn't just that he received these cattle, because that's obviously what's sensational and what the newspapers will grab hold of and what people want to talk about. And it is quite a story to have him sign for them. You can imagine the visuals around this would be incredible. Yeah. And you say there's a picture?
There's a picture.
But the real
picture
story,
with the driver.
The real story.
And with Jacob signing, by the way.
There's someone who was expecting 25 cattle, who needed to make a farm work, who's now going to be blamed for being another failed black farmer, who's going to get the ire of the provincial authorities, of racist white people, of everybody else who wants to climb on this poor guy who just didn't get what he was promised.
No, that's you're absolutely right. The tragedy of corruption is that we talk a lot about what happened with land reform, what happened with agricultural reform, what happens with food security, and the fact that people now say, oh, you know, if you for example, expropriate without compensation, what about food security? In fact, that's the first line under the ANC resolution at the conference in December. It says, with due care towards food security. Food security means that Farmer Katlego should have got his 25 allocation, and because he's trained and so forth, he would have, or she would have, started a sustainable business. But Jacob Zuma has that now.
But you see, this corruption, the other effect of it that is just as nefarious and just as insidious is that these things happen and then they entrench racism and they entrench stereotypes and they entrench all the bad things that we're trying to eradicate, that we get all uppity about on social media for good reason.
No, absolutely.
But these are the real stories that affect real people.
Yeah. No, I mean, that, you know, we can say everything about, and you know, there's another element to the story. There were actually 50 cattle. 25 disappeared. We still
don't. Keeps getting better for him.
So 25 disappeared. We don't know where these 25 cattle are.
But check Supra's garden.
It might be worth driving through to Mahikeng, you know, doing a slalom through the...
Because usually the consigliere keeps some of the commission for himself.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Although 50% commission is quite a thing.
Well, maybe the president was on his way out already.
Yeah, you know? maybe.
Value is declining. And.
But one of the things for me is that, so you have how many others... and there's big rumors going on in the Northwest. You can imagine with all the insurrection, if you will, the protests and so forth. There's a lot of rumor doing the rounds in the Northwest right now. And people are saying, it's so nice that Geleilegisa got 25, but who else got? And one of the things people are saying is, well, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa has got is more into buffalo than cattle, so he
and
didn't
those
get
fancy Eastern African
longhorn bulls and so forth. So, in fact, it may be that other ANC leaders will find themselves also having benefited, and cattle having been taken from the Northwest to other places. Apparently, a program that like this one exists in KwaZulu-Natal, in other parts of South Africa, in the Free State and so forth. It would be interesting to know why a Northwest program gave money to Nkandla and not to a local Northwestern, where their jurisdiction is, and why the KwaZulu-Natal one didn't do it.
I'm interested also in the strategic importance of the Northwest to the ANC. You know, next year is an election year. We keep talking about this. So the Northwest is a very powerful province for the ANC. They've got widespread support. Their super has been instrumental in all of that.
Yeah.
To lose him would probably cost them a certain percentage of the votes. We know the EFF are making inroads in certain places like near Marikana, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether they can afford to lose Supra Mahumapelo, who has such a hold, a chokehold on politics in that province. We've seen all the protests in Mahikeng. People are obviously upset. Is there any kind of prediction as to how this outcome will affect the ANC in that province?
I think for me, the key thing about why is Supra Mahumapelo still in charge after the protests last week and the protests that have now sprung up again this week is because a big consideration for Cyril Ramaphosa, for the entire ANC, NEC, is how deep is his support, one, but two, what will he do to push back. On Tuesday evening, there was a press release by five of the ANC regents in the Northwest saying, this man is a good man and he should let the law take its course, but he shouldn't be pushed out. On Friday, when Cyril Ramaphosa arrived in the Northwest to meet with him and ANC leadership there, there's varying numbers, but there were at least 500 people massed outside the meeting and essentially threatening the ANC leadership that if you get rid of Supra, we will do exactly what the people of the province have been doing in the past week, and that is to cause havoc. In fact, there were allegations that they were saying, you will stay in that meeting until you say, no, he's not leaving. So there is a lot of blackmail of the new leadership of the ANC from the Northwest, Mpumalanga, KZN. And I mean, from my analysis, Supra Mahumapelo has at least 20 scandals that he has to answer to, whether it's the ambulances, whether it's the, there are so many, and I can give you a list of some of them. But he has stayed in power and stayed on in power because the narrative that he's pushing and his supporters are pushing, and part of it are the remnants of the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma faction that you referred to earlier, the Premier League. What they say is, oh, Cyril, you want to get rid of Supra, so you're continuing with the factions that existed before December 2017. So if he says, but guys, this man is accused of 1, 2, 3. The Hawks have been to his office twice now. Maybe he should step aside because as the ANC, we don't want to be associated with this. They say, no, this is just factional fighting. So Cyril Ramaphosa, even if, as we speak overnight, over the next few days, fires Supra Mahumapelo, the remnants of those divisions will continue to say, yeah, Cyril fired him because he's firing all the Zuma guys. If you listen to what the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal did to Cyril Ramaphosa on Sunday, he arrives to speak to the provincial leadership, and everyone in the room is standing up, everyone including Nomvula Mokonyane is singing, Sitshele wenzeni uZuma. Tell us what has Zuma done. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you don't have to go far to read the charge sheet about what Jacob Zuma has done. Over and above the state capture issues, the Guptas, his son is on the run, won't submit himself to the law in South Africa. You don't have to go look that far. But anyway, so I think Cyril Ramaphosa is still dealing with the fallout from the ANC race to December 2017. So the ANC is still a divided house, very much so.
Now we also hear, and in the wake of all the emotion around Winnie Madikizela Mandela's funeral, there was talk from both sides, the EFF and the ANC, of some kind of reconciliation.
Mm.
Julius seems to be spearheading this himself, if the reports are to be believed.
Yeah. Julius says he wrote to the ANC saying, look, there are areas of convergence, as he calls them. The land issue is something he says the ANC and the EFF agree on, a few others, da da da. And so he says, let's talk. The key question is the EFF now preparing to go back to where some of its leaders come from? And you can count many of those, Flau Chivambu, Dalimpofu, Julius, others. But there are others who don't come from those traditions. Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, others were activists, yes, at vets and so forth, but they're not through and through ANC members, as it were. For me, what's interesting about the debate, will Julius Malema go back or not? One, Julius Malema likes power. He likes the power that the EFF has conferred on
and
him.
And he's the front man.
He's the front man. He
gets way more attention and publicity and interest than he would if he was a cabinet minister.
Absolutely. But But is that enough? Is that powerful enough?
Hmm.
Because if you're Julius Malema, you got 6% in 2014, you got 8% in 2016. 2019, are you going to go, let's say you grow by 5 percentage points or more, let's say he goes to 18%. 18%, you're still in the opposition benches, you have doubled your MPs, you now have 50-something, maybe 60 MPs in parliament, but you're still on the other side. And is that enough for Julius Malema? Can he bide his time to say, maybe I'll go to 30, and maybe I'll go to 35, and by then the DA might have grown, others might have grown,
but
and maybe
this is 5-10 years in,
that's
in
10,
the making.
15, 20
now,
years.
What would be on the table that would persuade him? I mean, what's a lucrative offer?
A lucrative offer for Julius would be a clear path to power within the ANC. So it wouldn't just be that, oh, we are friends and we can talk about land. It would be, let's talk about when I get back into the ANC, what's the succession look like? How would I be number one? Because I think other than that route, there's nothing in it for Julius Malema. If you look at what David Mabuza and Cyril Ramaphosa have been doing, it was interesting at Winnie Mandela's funeral. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of the ANC, the president of the country, speaks as if Julius Malema is the president of the country. Oh, Julius, I hope you will walk with me back to Marikana to apologize to the people of Marikana. Oh, Julius, this, I think he mentioned he deferred to him 3 times. David Mabuza has been saying, come back home. Cyril Ramaphosa himself has said, come back home. They are on the back foot. But so I think Julius Malema would, one, wants power. I don't know if the ANC would give him guarantees for power. Secondly, the EFF is a very different organization to the ANC now. For me, the EFF is more like the PAC for those older listeners of us. It's more an amalgamation of the PAC and the Black Consciousness Movement and AZAPO in there. So ideologically, the ANC would need to also move hugely towards a more Biko-esque, Sobuko-esque kind of politics. So,
when we know that they probably tend towards crony capitalism far more.
Yes. Than Amilcar Cabral. Yeah. So I think that makes it a hard sell for me to see a merger or a reverse takeover of the ANC by the EFF. I think that they'll talk and talk, but I don't think they'll go anywhere. If you look at what happened in Nelson Mandela Bay, the ANC and the EFF couldn't get it together to say we agree to get rid of Athol Tholib.
I was just about to ask you, I mean, what does Julius bring to them? They're already in government. They are hardly likely to be unseated in the next election.
Exactly.
So for the next 5 years, they don't need him.
They don't actually
need him. What do they need him? He's going to maybe add a few percentage points here or there. But for the ANC, the long game is that they've got to stay ahead of the opposition.
Exactly.
And absorbing the EFF or even a part of the EFF won't be enough.
Yeah. So I think you know, it's nice to talk, always nice to talk, but I don't see it happening. But it will be interesting to see what the ANC says it wants to see happening. Is it unity? Is it consolidating so that it has a two-thirds majority? Julius Malema will say, I want you to have a two-thirds majority so you can change the constitution. I can tell you now from the discussions inside the ANC doesn't want to touch Section 25, doesn't want to touch the Bill of Rights, doesn't want to change the constitution.
That could threaten Cyril's longhorn cattle.
Exactly. So there's a fundamental disjuncture between these two. Maybe Julius Malema is trying to lobby the ANC to get his way, but right now, I don't see it happening. I don't see that merger happening. It's a But it will be interesting to see how the ANC responds to that letter. It's in the hands of the great, amazing, fantastic Ace Magashule right now, and we will see how he responds in his usual manner.
He'll shepherd it in the right direction.
Maybe he'll have a 20 million rand party just to decide what to do about it.
Well, we spent a bit of time talking about the Northwest, but there's other provincial politics going on, and particularly in the ANC. Now, in KwaZulu-Natal, they're ready to hold their provincial conference and to elect new leadership. They weren't ready at the time of going to Nasrec. And the ANC is still very divided in that province, or is it? Have they sorted out their problems? Now that the top is sorted out, they can start sorting out the bottom.
You can see they're not. We just spoke now about that song that was sung in front of Cyril Ramaphosa saying, tell us what Jacob Zuma has done. People will remember there were two very clear, distinct factions in the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. There's the faction that was in charge, that's the Sihle Zikalala faction. They support Jacob Zuma. They support Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. They supported both in the run-up to the conference in December, and they wanted Cyril Ramaphosa out. They were very disappointed by Cyril Ramaphosa's win at the conference in December. In fact, they lost... if we were in Japan, they would say they lost face. They were so they were totally defeated because they were so divided going in that there isn't a single KZN leader who is in the top six of the ANC, and that's because instead of supporting, say, a Ramaphosa candidate in Senzo Mchunu, they said we hate him so much we'll support someone else, and so Ace Magashule won and Senzo Mchunu lost by 24 votes. In everything else, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma for president, others, they lost out. After that, and remember that leadership had been found to be unlawful and so forth by a court of law. There'd been a court challenges to that. So the ANC then said, no, we'll have a convener for this province. And they sent, I think it's Mike Mabuyakulu and Sihle Zikalala to unite the province. They went there last weekend and came out saying, oh, no, it's all fine. Everyone is happy. Not everyone is happy in KwaZulu-Natal. I don't think that that province is at all ready to have a conference. But I think that there is... It will be interesting to see how it pans out and how the run-up to that conference works out. Now, we know that Jacob Zuma has been traveling that province saying that he's drumming up support for the ANC in the elections next year. He clearly has a very strong youth constituency, but I'm not going to go there. Thank you very much. He is clearly getting support from a faction of that ANC, and that's the Sihle Zikalala faction. I think what is going on is that a properly constituted ANC in KwaZulu-Natal will begin to do what Ace Magashule told them in January. You'll remember that Ace Magashule went there and said, we don't know this ANC. We don't know. We find it strange. And that further, he said, but don't worry, comrades. We'll get our ANC back in 5 years' time. And I think that will be the beginning of a fight-back campaign, unless the Ramaphosa faction wins. If the Zuma faction, and I think it's very powerful in KwaZulu-Natal, if it wins at this conference, then their next step and their next attempt to unseat Cyril Ramaphosa will be to try and call for a National General Council. A National General Council is the ANC's highest decision-making conference between the two, the five-yearly conference. If they get that through, and it's been touted about a lot, they'll say Cyril Ramaphosa has failed to implement the decisions of the conference. We should have another conference immediately. And that will be their attempt to get rid of him. Will they succeed? I think their problem is that, look at someone like Colin Maine, who used to support them. He's standing up on podium saying, I was taken to the Guptas by Supra Mahuma Pelu and so forth and so forth. So they have a problem. The more Cyril acts, the less support they have. The more Cyril seems to be doing the right things, the more people like Malusi Gigaba say, what am I doing with the losers? I'm going with the winners. So, in fact, he's gaining support slowly, but he's gaining support within the ANC. And it could be that they're trying for some sort of mutiny, but that mutiny would be
short-lived.
Short-lived, because every day now, in every province, certainly in the Northwest, others, he's gaining support, they are losing support.
There is, however, the argument that when you've got your back to the wall, you have nothing to lose. And a lot of these people who are not pro-Cyril are not going to get what they would have got if Gozazana had won. And maybe they just need to put up a last stand.
But who are they?
Well, look, as you say, losers.
They're losers. So look at Jacob Zuma and... Jacob Zuma and his corruption trial two Fridays ago. Who was on the podium there?
Faith Nihaus.
Karl Niehaus. Faith Mutambi. Oh. Des van Rooyen. I mean, if that's the army that's coming at me, I'll be fine. I'll be absolutely fine. So you can see, I mean, where were the big hitters that used to support Jacob Zuma? They weren't there. COSATU, not there. SACP, not there. Youth League, not there. Women's League, some people in the Women's League are already saying, Batabile, Zuma, not my cup of tea. So there will be a fight back. Jacob Zuma will fight back and will fight back hard. You can see he's doing it. And other people will fight back. But I think increasingly we're seeing a smaller fight back than Jacob Zuma thinks he's got. But he will fight back. His back is against the wall. When people say you got 25 Bonsmara cattle,
every day there's a new revelation.
Every day there's something about Jacob Zuma, and it's nonstop. And in the public mind, Jacob Zuma is such soiled goods, not just from the corruption, but, you know, you see what came out about him and his young child, his youngest child.
You mean his new bride as well?
Yes.
Because you must be clearer.
Well, I mean, is he paying Lobola? Is he getting married? I don't know.
She's enthusiastic.
She's very enthusiastic. but you know, think of the number of people who say, this guy, last year, you know, you need your leaders to concentrate on the job, Gareth. You need your leaders to say what is facing us here. What was facing South Africa last year? Last year in March, the finance minister was fired by Jacob Zuma. The two ratings agencies took us to junk, to near junk.
Unemployment is at an all-time high.
All-time high, 27%.
Business confidence was at an all-time low.
Exactly.
But Atabile was about to screw up all the welfare payments.
Exactly.
It was a disaster. Yeah, it was probably the worst point in our trajectory, not morally, but performance-wise, since 94.
Yeah, we were dire. And you think about it and say, what were our leaders doing? Well, Jacob Zuma was gallivanting in KwaZulu-Natal.
He was looking for a new wife. I mean, buying diamond rings, and she was tweeting about it. And, anyway, I mean,
we
don't want to get mired in tabloid stuff, but this is he was a tabloid president.
He was very much so. So I think, you know, in electoral terms, that will have an impact on the ANC. It needs to clean up and needs to walk away from Jacob Zuma.
Now, the Western Cape is also an interesting province to look at, because the Western Cape is a real problem. It's a carbuncle on the ANC's face.
I like that word.
Because they're very embarrassed by this. It was a province that they ran once.
Yeah.
They lost support in droves shortly thereafter. I think Nomaindia Mfeketo was the last ANC premier.
Lynn Brown was the last one.
Oh, well,
after Ibrahim Rasu.
I was trying to be generous. Okay, so then what do they do? Fikile, who's now the head of elections, he's been tasked with winning back the Western Cape.
Mm.
And look, the DA have got problems there with Patricia de Lille. We've discussed these already.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not as if the opposition are resolved and strong.
No, no. They are hugely divided.
By the opposition, I mean the national opposition. In the province, they're the government.
Yeah.
But for the ANC, this is an uphill battle. So who do they call on? I mean, he's not an incapable human being by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Ran the province as well as could be at the time. He was, you know, it was still the honeymoon period, really, for the ANC when he was there in the premiership.
Mm.
But they bring back Ibrahim Rasool. Do you think that's going to make a difference?
No. I think that was, you know, the thing is to have the, not the intellectual, it's almost the emotional intelligence, if you will, to realize that if someone left under such a cloud. So there's a journalist called Ashley Smith. Ashley Smith and his boss, who was the political editor, Joseph Aranes, I think was his name, they started a PR company. The PR company got work from the provincial government, and they wrote stories in the Cape Argus, essentially rubbishing those inside the ANC who were contesting against Ibrahim Rasool. In particular, they rubbished the name of a guy who's still leader of a leader of the ANC in the Western Cape, Cebisi Skwatsha, who's now, I think, a deputy minister, one of our 75 deputy ministers, or whatever many there are. So that story comes back powerfully every time you mention Ibrahim Rasool. Between 2004, 2008, from 2005, that story broke. 2006, that story broke. It was just about brown envelopes for these two disgraced journalists and their company. So to bring him back, you start off on the back foot already, because people are talking about that instead about your electoral chances. But also it's to reflect on what happened to the ANC in the Western Cape. The ANC in the Western Cape, Ibrahim Rasool came in on 40%. He didn't win an outright majority. Mm. The ANC had to be cobbled together a coalition for him to run the Western Cape. After he left, the ANC went further down to 35%. So what you have is an ANC whose highest number was 40%. If I were the ANC, I'd be saying, if we're at 40% at some point, if we can get back to that, maybe we can do something. But let's get someone young, dynamic, who can speak to this constituency. And then we'll take that person maybe to 50%. That person will take us to 50%. I don't think the ANC has thought through what it's doing.
But the ANC has a major problem in forward planning of any kind in this respect, because their bets on the succession, their young lions, have all been pushed to the sidelines again by the old guard. You know, the poor old Malusi Gigaba, who was considered to be a possible, you know, future leader, has been disgraced. He's embroiled himself in this mess with the Guptas.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever be able to recover from it, but certainly he's not in the front and center anymore.
No.
Fikile has been pushed aside because he was a mess. So who is there? And the best, the cream of their crop, if you consider it that, left for the EFF.
Yes.
So who have they got? The ANC is an old and aging, dying party.
You know, that's absolutely right.
So there's no one in the Western Cape who would support them. A young person in the Western Cape would either go EFF or DA.
Exactly. So if you think about it, I mean, that's a very powerful point. Everyone is in their 60s. There are no 40-something-year-old leaders who are ready and ready to take over.
I mean, Lungisa's in shackles in the Eastern Cape at the moment for smashing a jug over another member of the provincial parliament's head.
Yeah. My word. We must actually pull up that picture of him and his friend when they were up for the other fraud matter that they were on. When the friend put a brown paper bag, which I think was a powerful comment on what he was up for. A brown paper bag over his head with two holes for his eyes. It was the most incredible thing. But that's when you say Andile Lungisa to me, that's all I can think about. That, hold on, that's that guy. But you're absolutely right. And I think the ANC's problem is that all it's got now,
I mean, another one is Duduzi Manana. He was a deputy minister, a young man. His future ahead of him, could have carved out a nice position for himself in the ANC, and they need young blood. But what does he do? He goes and gets himself embroiled in a beating situation where he physically abuses a woman in public.
It's absolutely shocking. And he is in the National Executive Committee of the ANC, by the way. He got elected by both the Ramaphosa side and the Zuma side. So he's one of the people at the very top of the 86-member NEC. So you say, if this is who you can agree on, how bad are the ones you don't agree, you disagree on?
So if I were Cyril, I would be very, very concerned at the lack of young blood in that organization.
There is some young blood, but you think about, take a woman like Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, who is, a very good MP, very good deputy minister, has been. But one of the problems is that you go to her native Eastern Cape. In the Eastern Cape, she ran the conference that they had last year.
That was the chair smashing.
So all of the younger ones are no longer leading an ANC that's united. If you take her, for example, that is someone who comes from an ANC that's broken in the Western Cape. You go to the Northwest, take a guy like Supra Mahumapela, he's in his 40s. Whatever Supra Mahumapela does now, the ANC in the Northwest is going to face, and that's the question you were asking earlier. The ANC in the Northwest will no longer have the hegemony that it had. We've had this discussion on the show before where we spoke about the Northwest and the legacy of Lucas Mangope. People in the Northwest, for whatever I might say about, Lucas Mangope was a puppet of the apartheid government, whatever you might say, people now look back on those days and say, we had running water, we had roads.
Halcyon
days. These were under apartheid, and people are looking back fondly on that. There's going to be a reckoning in the election next year for the Northwest, particularly if a guy like Supra stays.
Well, the ANC's problem, not ours.
The ANC remains so dominant in our politics that it might be our problem.
No, it is. It's absolutely our problem.
But spicy days in the Northwest, spicy days in our politics. Who thought politics would be so interesting after Jacob Zuma? I thought I was going to go and get an office job.
Yeah, we were worried. It's like, we thought that only Americans would have interesting stories with Trump. Here we are. We've got new stuff every day. You don't want to miss the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's, talking about spicy every single week here on cliffcentral.com. The excellent analytics of Justice Malala. I think it's fair to say that. Don't pull that face. And we will see you next week. Same time, same place.
Absolutely.
This is cliffcentral.com.